Hello, good morning. Welcome to Core Finance. I'm Matt Brown. I'm joined by Mark Oswald, who's a strategist at ADM. Thank you for coming on the show, Mark. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm very good. Thank you.
Well, happy Friday to you. Been an interesting week. A lot of geopolitical issues going on.
Yep.
Starting off with Spain at the start of the week. We've got the long knives now out, potentially for Theresa May, and swathe of strong macro data globally.
Yes.
Just talk us through what this means and potentially for... Yeah. Interest rate hikes.
Yes. I mean, in terms of the geopolitics, markets have become rather insensitive to it, other than the hopes that finally there appears to be some movement. We had the budget bill passed yesterday in the House in the US on the fiscal front in the USA, which always gives a bit of optimism. And to a certain extent, so it should, because the momentum in the US economy and indeed in the global economy that we've seen this week has been mighty impressive. We kicked off last Saturday with the Chinese official PMIs, very strong data. We had a strong Tankan in Japan. We've had solid PMIs from the Eurozone. And even here in the UK, with the exception of the construction PMI, actually the manufacturing PMI was very solid, and so was the services one. We've had the German orders data this morning, very, very strong, 7.8% best reading that we've year on year, best reading we've had. And obviously, we'll come to payrolls in a moment, but, you know, at lunchtime. But I think the run of economic data offers actually a lot of justification for the strength that we're seeing in the equity markets, even if this remains the most hated equity market rally probably in history.
Unless you're long of it.
Yes, unless you're long of it. And one can't. One probably would have to add a big caveat in there. You know, are people responding to the economic data? And the answer is no. They're responding to constrained choice. The worrying part remains what we see in credit markets, above all, you know, frontier sovereign bond markets are now at their tightest levels relative to the US Treasuries. The JP Morgan emerging market bond spread is also at its tightest level. Issuance flies out the window without really much consideration of what the credit, the credit risks are. So that remains the cornerstone of anyone's worry, particularly as we are, you know, with this strong economic data, in an environment where one has to ask, well, actually, shouldn't central banks globally be getting on with it and starting to remove a lot of this accommodation? Now, obviously, it's the first Friday of the month. It's payrolls bingo day. It's a very, very difficult one. We know that there's going to be some rather difficult to quantify impact from the hurricanes.
Yes.
We've had the ADP data, which was actually pretty much bang in line with expectations. And given the impact of the hurricanes, 135,000 increase in employment is a solid reading. Now, well, we always have this sort of caveat that one shouldn't read across. We've had misses on the upside with misses on the downside this year. This month, probably even more of a lottery. What we can make a comparison to, justifiably, is to the two big impacts that we've seen on payrolls from Hurricane Katrina and Hurricane Sandy. So back with Katrina, we've been averaging ADP readings around 200,000, and we got a minus 8,000. Big impact. Sandy is probably more instructive because on that occasion, actually, we'd been averaging about 190,000 in the previous 3 months for the ADP, and we got a reading of 130,000, which sounds rather similar, actually, to the constellation that we've got this time. The consensus, however, is only looking for an 80,000 gain. The ADP report gave us some interesting clues in terms of composition. It did say that there was a fairly big hit to the services side, which is really very unsurprising. But it did say there was a big compensation from the construction sector, some of it which will be related to rebuilding already starting after the hurricane, and inordinate strength in the manufacturing sector, which has been adding jobs for quite some time, and it fits with the orders data. So the 80,000 to me looks rather underclubbed. However, given the impact of the hurricanes, we're probably not going to pay that much attention unless it's wildly different. We will need to keep an eye out for that upward revision that's likely to August. But we are probably going to focus in on the average earnings data again.
That's the key.
And then, this is a classic case of it's going to be solid in month-on-month terms, 0.3% month-on-month. However, the year-on-year rate, 2.5%, that's not a bad gain. In real terms, we are still talking about something which is 1%. which isn't bad by recent historical standards, but it doesn't put the Fed under a lot of pressure. That said, the Fed is clearly changing the narrative for us at the moment, and as far as they're concerned, given the very easy financial conditions that we've got, despite the three rate hikes that we've had, they want to carry on with rate hikes, and so they should, given the economic data that we've got. If we were to get an above expectations average hourly earnings, I would imagine the market would start to move to the idea that it's pretty much baked in the cake that we get a December rate hike. They're already fairly persuaded. We've got the probability at 77%. The question then focusing back in on what happens with the ECB, and the minutes that we had earlier in the week basically seem to suggest that basically the choice that they're facing at the moment is either they go with a shorter period but a larger volume of QE when they start to taper, or they go for a smaller volume for a longer period. And I think the contingency there, as far as they're concerned, is when we get to the October meeting, they'll have had a fairly good idea of where the inflation numbers are heading and where they're likely to do their revisions in December. And so if we're still way behind the curve in terms of getting on a sustainable uptrend in both headline and core CPI, then they'll probably go for the less but for longer, so that they don't feel constrained, and that they've still got the flexibility, if the inflation numbers don't improve through the middle of next year, to carry on a little bit longer than perhaps they'd originally anticipated. Whereas if they do a lot for a shorter period, then they may actually have used up even more of the ammunitions that they don't want to use up.
Understood. Mark Oswald, thank you very much for joining us today.